There's Donkey. Whichever belongs to your neighbors.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise ye. About time. Everybody hear my magnificent singing. My joyful noise, rather. I don't think nobody would come and pay to hear me sing. Hallelujah, I wouldn't. Unless you want some deliverance. Make some demons manifest. Glory to the King. Heavenly Father, we do come to you this magnificent Shabbat that you've set apart for us in the magnificent name of Jesus, thanking you for another opportunity to be able to serve you and worship you and rest on this holy day. We thank you for the law, the prophets, Father, and everyone that you have sent to redeem us as a people. More than anything, we thank you for our Messiah, Jesus, for writing our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We need you this day, time, and hour to help open up our understanding, to be able to understand the scriptures. And we need a performance to come about from us as a people to bring glory to your magnificent name in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. We thank you for all things in the magnificent name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. You may be seated. All right. Well, today we're going to be in class. So it's going to be a teaching. It may be over some of y'all head. But it's okay. We're going to try to keep it within the parameters. Hallelujah. Throughout history, there have been numerous conflicts from these unions. Y'all remember Cain and Abel? Remember Isaac and Ishmael? This is our history. Numerous of conflicts. What about Jacob and Esau? All of them family. You ever heard of Perez and Zerah versus the Shilonites? Well, y'all gonna learn about that today then. Israel versus the Moabites, the Amorites, and Lot's children. So, things to take note of when reading these scriptures. Over in Genesis 37, it ends with Joseph being sold into Mizraim, or Egypt. And then in Bereshit 39, starts with Joseph's story. Genesis 38 speaks about the bastardization of Israel from Judah. Over in Genesis 38:1, it says, "And it came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite." Who saw this daughter? Judah did. Saw there a daughter of a certain what? Whose name was Shula. And he took her and went in unto her. That means he had sex with her. All right? Must have been a nice looking woman. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er. So contrary to the opinion, all this is going to make sense. A bastard is not someone born out of wedlock. A bastard is someone that is born from someone of another nation. I know the Europeans that try to deceive everybody thinking that if you didn't get married according to their customs, whenever you have children, they call them bastards. When they the bastards them damn self. A bastard is someone born from an Israelite of one of another nation. Now, these two tablets right here, right? they hang the whole, that's the whole law hangs on all that, right? But there's also history involved in this too. You see, Moses married a Midianite, a woman named Zipporah. Moses married an Ethiopian woman as well. He also had another wife. We don't really speak too much about it, but it's mentioned over in Judges. Questions. So why were these women not considered by the Most High as strangers? The answer, because they both were with Moses and they believed in the report, and the Egyptian woman came out of Egypt with Israel. Therefore, according to the Most High, they are considered the same as Israelites and part of the one nation. Y'all getting this? So Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses concerning the Ethiopian woman. You know, we're going through this again, okay? They were still stuck in the mindset, like many people today, that Israel cannot mix with other nations. But is this true? Because we just got finished reading about Judah with a Canaanite, Moses with a Midianite, and an Ethiopian. Y'all get that? Or let's go back for a second. What about the war bride? If you go into war with another nation, you end up taking a woman. So something's wrong today then, isn't it? All right. In Bar Mikvah 12:1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. Even Most High had problems with this. And he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, have y'all indeed spoken only by Moses? Isn't that the same thing you start talking about polygyny, though? All of a sudden, everybody think that, you can't be a man of y'all. You done lost your mind. Moses had to deal with the same thing. Moses had to deal with the same thing. An ignorant and perverse generation that don't know the will of y'all, don't know the mind of y'all, even though you can read all through scriptures that the whole entire army of Israel was built on polygyny. And they said, have y'all indeed spoken only by Moses? Have he not spoken by us? No, he ain't spoken by you. And y'all heard it. You know the reason why y'all heard it? Because they're speaking against the man that he set up. Uh-oh. The Most High has something to say about this attitude against his servant Moses. And Yahweh suddenly spake unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now remember last night, can you imagine the way we responded and acted when Yah spoke to the whole nation of the Ten Commandments? Can you imagine just being three of you called up to the door of the tabernacle? The Most High, and Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Talking about some knees knocking, huh? I told you, it's the same way it's always going to be when we speak to the Father. The only time we're going to be able to speak to him is in prayer. But when he comes and talks to us, there's going to be sending him the message, receiving you, and there will be no talk back. There won't be no, let's wait a minute and consider this for a second, or, that ain't happening. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of Yahweh he shall behold. That's pretty personal relationship right there. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. Looked like nothing took place. He just gave some words, and he took off. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. See, it ain't no miracle or judgment if you're already white and you turn white. But if you black and you turn white, everybody looking at you crazy. Huh? I mean, she had to be shunned some type of way. And Aaron looked up on Miriam and she became, and behold, she was a leopardess. Exodus 12:47 said, and all the congregation of Israel shall keep it, talking about the Passover. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. Boy, that is a tough thing right there, boy. Whew. Ooh, because here in the ministry, man. Let me go on. Well, I have a moment. And let them come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is what? Born in the land. So Yahweh's never discriminated from anyone being Israel. Never. The only deal is, like I said before, when you come over, you become an Israelite, the same way that we have to spurn our old families, and because they don't love Yah. When Yahshua said you must be born again, that means you're born in a new family. You're born again. You understand what I mean? Now, we're not going to hate or detest them, but they don't have the same understanding that we have. They don't serve the same Elohim. You know, everybody out in the world, oh, God, 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 who? You understand what I mean? They don't obey him. We obey him. Are you following me? So he has called us out of that world into his service. You follow me? That's the reason why we get along so good. That's why people travel all over the world just to come here and sit in the midst of the real Israel, the congregation of the holy. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, the law says if a stranger abides in Israel and he or she converts and keeps the feast, and all males are circumcised, then they are as one who is born in the land, meaning that they are now Israelites. Now, this is the law, okay? Now, one law shall be to him and another law to the Americans. Did it say that? I mean, after all, America, the greatest nation on this face of planet Earth, and y'all just so in love with us. Bullshit. The wickedest nation on the face of planet Earth. So one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourn among you. Now, we're going back to Judah, okay? We got to pick on Judah for a little bit. The children of the flesh. And she conceived again. Who was that? Selah, right? She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet conceived and bare a son and called his name Selah. I got the other one wrong then, didn't I? And he was at Kasiba. How you say that, Ray? Kasiba? Getting close, man. We here. Yeah, man. And we're going to define all of this too, okay? When she bare him. Notice, they're naming the actual place where this one was actually conceived and born. So that means it's important. You have to really, truly, don't skip that. You follow? Because the other two, these are just bearing sons. But this one has some type of significance. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh killed him. You hear that? Judah's firstborn son was wicked in the sight of Yah, and Yah killed him. Told you he was involved, didn't I? And Judah said unto Onan, go into my brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to your what? Brother. Now, unlike it, the way America is today, if your brother passes away, He has a wife according to scripture, and you are the next one in line. You are commanded by the Bible to marry your brother's wife. Makes no difference how ugly she is or how good looking she is. Has nothing to do. It has to do with duty. The woman ain't supposed to have an idea once she, my husband is dead. Let me go and see if who else I can find to marry. No, you don't get to go outside of Israel. That's what we're trying to teach our children. And this stuff has to be taught with us day and night, morning and evening, Sabbath after Sabbath, teaching after teaching. We're not to go and marry one of another nation. Because what are people of other nations going to do? They're going to lead you astray. Next thing you know, your ass going to be out there celebrating Christmas, Easter, and Sunday, and having birthdays, and fruit looping, and canned thing, and everything else. No, 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 no. Y'all detest that stuff. Are you getting it? So we raise our children in the right way, and then look at all the run of the mill they're going to be able to have with all these children. Huh? Why would you want to go out there and marry some of them defiled, wicked people that don't keep the law, statutes, and commandments, the rules, and guidelines of Yah? You shouldn't even want no association with them. Are you following me? Now, he says you could marry her and raise up seed. It make no difference if he had already had a wife or two or three or four. That's just your duty and obligation. That's called a kinsman redeemer. Or what you will see over in the scriptures that talk about the Levirate law. Now here's the Levirate law. It's already intact. They were already living it. They understood it. They had it. They got it. They get it. And then Yah had to take Moses and write it. See, there were a lot of things the Israelites were already doing before it was even written down, because it was culture. It was custom. It was heritage. Y'all getting that? It's like it's our culture and custom that men have beards. We ain't supposed to be running around looking like women. That's that damn Greek shit. Put some hair on your face. You ain't got to worry about it if your head go bald, because ain't too many bald-headed women. But put some hair on your face, dang it. Make a distinction. Hallelujah. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. So, he already knew. There was no Genesis written. Y'all getting this? No Shemot. No Numbers. No Deuteronomy. No Leviticus. Wasn't even written. They already knew it. Putting emphasis on this. These laws was given to us because Yah said that we are a great nation. Now, we already know that Ur got the axe, right? He got his head chopped off. Now, here comes Onan. Now, who's really wicked too? Look at him. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. In other words, if he went into his brother's wife and she conceived, he knew that that is not his son. Y'all getting this? He got to raise up his own seed. But he still has a duty and obligation to raise up seed to his brother. Where is that going to be taught in Christian churches? In them dumbass churches? Them spiritual houses of irrepute? Where is that going to be taught? This righteous law right here. Can you imagine that? They would much rather for her to go out here and get married to a Baptist. It is stupid. So as we go on, and it came to pass that when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilt it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. You think there could have been some animosity in there? Or just that the fact of the matter, he knew that he wasn't going to get any inheritance from it. That's sad though, isn't it? That's sad. So some people say that, okay, if you that means that you can't spill seed. But that ain't got nothing. This has to do with the law of kinsman redeemer or raising up seed to your brother. People so spiritual, man. They so dumb. And the thing which he did displeased Yahweh, wherefore he killed him also. Trying to kill him business, isn't he? So right now, Judah's family line ain't looking too good, is it? Told you, man, when y'all deal with these people, he deal with them personally. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at your father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also. You can see what's going on, right? And his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt at his father's house. So Judah was saying, just go over here to your father's house and wait till he becomes of age. Then I would, basically, he ain't saying that he's going to give it to her. He just told her, just go get away for a little bit because he want to keep his last son alive. But he ain't telling her that. You getting that? So, you know, he making it look like, okay, he'll be yours. And mind you, she couldn't go to another nation. She couldn't get married by another tribe. She couldn't get another man in the tribe. Why? Because when a woman gets married to an Israelite, she belongs to that family. How's this doing for y'all American understanding? Huh? So she had to wait. Let's get a visual of this real quick. So we can really see what's going on here, all right? Come here, Mother Carol. Who can I get as a young man that would be a Hollywood star in here? Come here, Zephan. That's a Hollywood star. Tamar. Shelah. He ain't ready yet. Now, how old are you, Zephan? You 10 years old. With this generation, boy, no telling what they be doing. So he ain't ready, right? So I say, hey, I tell you what you're going to do. You just go to your father's house. And now she's going to get older. Y'all get that? So she got to wait on him. Unlike in America, that she has to, you know, she'll see somebody or somebody come whispering to her and all. It was even understood amongst the tribes that she was off limits. It was even understood amongst the family that she was off limits. You see how far we've been removed away from our culture? We think like these damn Europeans. This damn wicked ass system. It should make you mad as hell. So she had to stay and just wait and be content until he become of age. Okay, so see you later, Shelah. Go ahead on. Come on up here, Trey. Now, he all grown now. Mind you, had nothing to do. Do you love me? Do you love me? I love you. I love you. Check yes or no. There's a no. Has nothing to do with what you call love. You don't even know what the hell love is. This has to do with duty and obligation. Now you know that it's real true love when they can obey the father. That's love. That's love. Thank y'all very much. Y'all did pretty good. Feel like Hollywood stars, don't they? The conflict. Judah is trying to rear his children in Israelite law, but these bastards have their own idea concerning living. No telling what that woman was probably teaching them. Again, no telling what that woman was probably teaching them. See, the women are the first line teachers to the children. And no telling what the woman was teaching those children and stuff to get them, because in the Canaanites, his problem is like, man, you don't want to fool with her, man. Y'all getting this? But also, Judah was kind of wicked himself, too. Now, he wasn't, you know, come on, we got our challenges. Judah thinking, damn, I had two sons that done checked out already. I ain't got number one to go. Notice, Tamar could not just go and marry anybody she wanted, unlike this pagan. I'm always ahead of myself, ain't it? Pagan American culture we live in. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shula, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was what? Comforted. So what did he do? He went up to his sheep shears in Timnah, he and his friend, Hera the Adullamite. And it was told, Tamar saying, I wonder who did. It's probably one of them wise women, huh? Kind of like that thing with Ruth and Naomi. Now, never mind. Y'all ain't it. You know, that old woman, Naomi, hey, Ruth. Boaz is out there, so go kind of make yourself known. Where's the wise women talking like that today? Oh, never mind. See what I'm talking about? Where's this language at today? Didn't that turn out good? For those of you who don't know the Naomi and Ruth situation, basically, in a nutshell, what Naomi did was say, look here, Ruth, I know you're going to be with my people and all this other stuff. And see that man over there, Boaz, he a wealthy man over there. See all them servants he got out there? Yeah, most of all of them are his women, too. But I tell you what you do, he going to be over there at the hay bale. He gonna get some wine and some Merlot. And while he's over there laying down, what you do is you go in and you lay at his feet. Somebody said, man, I wouldn't be so cheap like that. You already cheap in America. At least he was trying to be part of a good family, following the advice of Naomi. Somebody who had her best interest in mind. Notice Boaz didn't go ask his Ishas, is it okay? That's what American women got men nut sacks in their hands. Boaz woke up. Y'all know the rest of the story, right? Okay, good. We don't have to go no farther then. All right. Now, and it was told to Tamar, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Teman to shear his sheep. See what's going on now, right? Why is that important to her? And she put her widow's garments off from her. Notice she wore a widow's garment for a long time. Must have been something she was wearing. Huh? The widow's garment in America is them damn leotards. You go to the airport, man, it'd be. At least she was covered. Huh? And covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat at an open place, which is by the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown. Where is he at? See, all that's in this woman's heart is to raise up seed. For what? To keep the inheritance there with her brother. She's looking at, what is going on? So, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a what? So she disguised herself to look like a whore because she had covered her face. I'm a whole reserve on that. No, she covered her. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, and let me come in unto thee. That's a line right there. Why waste all that money on a movie and a dinner? He just straight up. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what will you give me that you may come in unto me? So she playing the harlot. And he said, I will send ye a kid from the flock. And she said, no, there's no Federal Reserve notes. Kid from the flock. And she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? In other words, no, you're going to give me something now. They're negotiating, bargaining. And he said, what pledge shall I give you? And she said, your signet and the bracelets and the staff that is in your hand. Boy, that's a high price, isn't it? So you know he's going to go get that goat and come back. Huh? And he gave it to her, and he came into her, and she conceived by him. Another thing, you know only Pastor Dow can bring this out. You do know that, right? Y'all ain't never condemned him for sin for going into this woman. That he didn't think, he thought it was just a prostitute. I ain't saying you go out to get no prostitutes either. Because ain't no whores amongst the daughter of Israel. See, just when the devil tried to come into your little sneaky mind, we got you though, didn't we? Shut him down real fast, didn't we? And he came into her, and she conceived by him, and she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. Boy, she's sneaky, ain't she? At least it looks like it. It came to pass. And it came to pass about 3 months after that, it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, she has played the harlot. How far along you something? 3? Well, you can't see now. She got a curtain on today. But so everybody can tell. It's amazing how people, they get so spiritual. They come up there. You pregnant? No, my stomach just got a pump like this. I got gas. Here we go. And also, behold, she is with child by, how was she with child by? Why? Because there was only one family line that could have sex with this woman. She was not free to run and roam Israel. Y'all hear that, daughters? Y'all sisters hearing this? You young women hearing this? Say something! That's called a confession. You're not to be running around here sowing your wild oats like these horse-ass women in America. You to keep yourself and stay within the confines of God's law. So you can be blessed all the days of your life, and so your children can be blessed, so you don't have to grow up and have a bunch of regrets like a lot of old people in here going out there giving their body to the damn streets. You won't have to have no regrets. You can even tell your children, look here, daughter, your mama, I's a good woman. I's kept myself only for my husband. I didn't go out here and run out like these Canaanites. And I expect the same thing of you. Hallelujah. This is the way it should be taught. Hallelujah. Anyway, she was with child by whores, and Judah said, bring her forth and let her be what? They treating her like a witch. Come on, man. Let her be what? burned. So the Romans didn't get that from their own, because they got that from Judah. Bring her and let her be burnt. Shish kebab her butt. Now listen, y'all takes this very thing serious about his daughters being set apart to the law. We need to be reading that thing every day so that your mind don't go wandering away from Elohim. That's what I'm saying. Just like Elder Rufus said the other day, you need to learn to love. You need to learn to love your role, love the law. And then you'll know that the Most High Yah will love you. Hallelujah. That's how you know you love Yah, because you keep his commandments. And his commandments ain't only just 10. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 21, and they shall bring out the girl to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done wickedness in Israel, to do what? To play the whore in the father's house. Thus shall you purge the evil from your midst. So if any one little girl in here decides she won't go and open up her legs without the consent of her father giving her away to a righteous man, I wish we was back in the land. I would go the burning route. You know why? It sets more of an example. Or I don't mind stoning either, as long as I get the biggest one. This is how we keep the fear of Yah in us. But what would they do in America? Oh, you go run to America. See, that's y'all fortunate that we in captivity. See, because we wasn't in captivity, we wouldn't have to be subject to these laws of this land then, could we? Y'all get my mindset, right? It's righteous right here. You think a woman want to go sow her oaks if she knows these going to be the consequences? Oh, no. And look what he says. When you do this, you put away the what? Evil from among you. Put away the evil from among you. And when the daughter over in Leviticus 21:9, and when the daughter of any priest profanes herself by whoring, she profanes her father, she is burned with fire. Ooh, hey, that law is something else, ain't it? Don't y'all love that law? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see how much you love that law if it was your daughter getting ready to get burnt. Now you're going to see if you love y'all or not. Uh-oh. See, the real question is this. And then the answer is this. The real question is, do you love Yah or do you love your family? And the answer is, you love Yah. Uh-oh. Once you get that heart settled and straight, then you'll be just as upset as Yah is for your family transgressing the law of Yahweh Elohim. See, in this wicked society right here, why does Yah always have to be the one that always feeling the pain of our choices and decisions? Why does he always got to hear, your wicked ass baby, you mean? He already told you what he thought about people transgressing his law in the first place. He already done knocked off Judah 2 sons, all because they spurned his law. The law wasn't even written yet. Now it's written. It is written. It is written. It is written. See, there are always challenges in life to find out who you love the most. Do you love Yah? Or do you love your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt Meemaw, Pawpaw, Poppy, Hoppy? Yah said he's a jealous Elohim. When he says, you have no other mighty ones against my face, nobody ever thought that could be pertaining to your family as well. Uh-oh. Remember what Jesus said. And a man's own foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He does not take up his tree and die. See, we got it. Everybody's heart got to be checked. See, because I'm telling you, man, what is your family without Yah? Your family ain't got no heaven or hell to put you into, but Yah does. And Yah don't want you to be serving him out of a fire escape religion, heaven and hell. He wants you to serve him out of love, unconditional, uncompromising, agape love. And that's the only way you can love your brethren is when you learn how to love Yah. Are we getting this, Israel? But you see what the law says, right? And I go, oh, how I love thy law. Priest, chief ruler, a priest, king, Melchizedek, Messiah, Cohen. So back to Genesis. When she was bought out, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am pregnant. Can you imagine how Judah thinks the muscle tighten up in front of the whole tribe? Now everybody looking at him sideways. What you doing? You know it's your daughter-in-law. And she lies sitting over here lying. You jumping the gun, man. Can you imagine all the thoughts going on in that tribe right now, man? Man, you supposed to be the patriarch of the tribe and you running dirty. Duh. Damn, I know Tamar look good, but man, come on. See, all that is just, you got to know how to read between the lines. Boy, when she bought out that signet and that staff. Wait a minute. Why didn't you make good on the kid goat? You planning on jacking her anyway? There's a lot of time done passed right here. Well, you know why, right? He went back and she wasn't there. Insurance. Blessed assurance. Now Judah's like, dang, my staff is gone, my sickness is gone. Where the woman is? He gone. So the day came. Judah, you've been a bad boy. And she said, please examine whose these are, the seal and the cord and the staff. And Judah, Yehuda, examined and said, she has been more righteous than I. The woman was more righteous. Tamar was more righteous than Judah. Because I did not give her to Shelah, my son. And he never knew her again. Isn't that something? And it came to pass that in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass that as he drew his hand back, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Perez. Y'all seen that? You imagine them babies, man, they were pretty active back then, wasn't they? You got your hand out? Get your hand back, boy. And afterwards, it came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. So remember these names, okay? Precept. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter was not passed to Judah's third son, Shelah. Extremely important. But to Judah's firstborn son from Tamar, whose name was Perez. Yahweh has always kept guard kept guarded the genealogical line of the Messiah. See, the reason why Yah was interfering, because he had a promised seed that was going to come, that was come to redeem his people, to save his people, to bring salvation, to bring Yeshua to his people. That's the reason why Yah interfered. Now look here, man, y'all messing this stuff up. Good, you get the axe, you get the axe. But he noticed, he let this ride. See what I mean? When I tell you that Yahweh was extremely involved in the patriarch's life, he was involved. Matthew 1:3, we're going over, and Judas, or really Judah, right, begat who? Phares and Zerah of Tamar. So how did his name get Judas when it was Judah? Never mind, anyway. Never mind, don't crack your head so hard. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Judah had three sons. Shelah, a bastard born from a half Canaanite at the time. He wasn't keeping no law, statutes, and commandments. They were just marrying. Wasn't written yet, right? From a half Canaanite half, and Judah half Canaanite. Perez, born from Tamar, an Israelite, the daughter of the genealogy of Shem. Not no damn Semitic. No damn, what's a damn Semitic? See, everybody's always trying to change the language, man. It's Shemitic. And it ain't even Shemitic. It's just Shem. So today, we've got people telling us genealogy is not important. Well, when you go read Matthew 1, what happens? Straight genealogy. And what you call the New Testament. See, y'all, I know y'all didn't make the mistake like I did when I was spiritual. I used to read all them genealogy. I would read one or two lines of them genealogy and say, I ain't got time for this. And I would skip over and go all the way over to the other end of the book. Okay, now we get into the somewhere. And then one day I said to myself, let me look at this genealogy thing and start looking and tracing some of these lines. And I go, what a fool I have been. What stupid idiot. Where did I get that thought from? No wonder I don't know nothing. Man, I scolded myself bad. The only thing I didn't have was getting out there in the dirt and throwing it on top of my head. I literally felt ashamed, though. I did. Say he puts all that in the book, and I don't think it's important because I can't read the names and understand the lines, and that's why he says study, ignoramus. Anybody ever talk to themselves like that before? That don't mean you talk yourself so bad that you go into a state of depression and rejection. Go ahead and rebuke yourself, shake yourself off, and then get back to business. Because you know America. I just ain't no good. I just ain't no good. I just ain't go never mount nothing. And all you want is somebody to come and give you attention. Come see me when you like it. I'll help you. I'll tell you what Brother Ernie said. But y'all does not see it that way. So Paul said for us to not argue over endless genealogies. Neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. It was never stated that we are not to pay attention to genealogies. Now, our problem is that we have ignored the genealogical line, and as a result, we have all of this confusion today with everyone trying to lump themselves into the line of Messiah, including these people can't dance. And they pray like this. Some crazy stuff, man. 3 descendants lines from Judah. Perez and Judah, Zerah and Judah, Shelah and Judah. Perez and Zerah were children of the promise. Shelah was not a child, was a child of the flesh. Y'all hear this? We're gonna be in Eloth. Eloth is right here. Right there on the, it's down here where Seir is, bordering Judah, which we'll see on another map. See Judah right here? See Judah, Israel right here? Eloth was right here. Right there. I just like putting that map up there because it looked good. I got it on Google. I thought it would make me look more like of a scholarly teacher. Still the same map, though. Here's Judah, and up here is Israel. And there's what Eloth is, because we're going to be dealing with Eloth. All right? Strict genealogy was kept on each tribe. 1 Chronicles 2:3. Now, y'all going to have to endure this, okay? The sons of Judah, and Onan and Shelah, which three born unto him of the daughter Shula, the Canaanitess, and was the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he killed him. Now, this is all the way over in 1 Chronicles. And Tamar's daughter-in-law bare him Perez and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were five. And the sons of Perez, starts naming all these names, Harazon, Hamul, and the sons of Zerah, Zimri, Ethan, Hermon, what's that, Calco, Coca-Cola, and Dara, five of them in all. And the sons of Camri, Achar, which is often called Achan, the trouble of Israel. Y'all seeing this? Who transgress in the accursed, and who transgress in the thing accursed. 1 Chronicles 9:1. So all Israel were reckoned by, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their what? Transgression. Now, once a name is dropped from the promised seed line, it does not appear in later genealogies. So if you read 1 Chronicles 9:2-7, you'll see that the sons of Shelah are not mentioned, just like Cain is not mentioned in the line of Adam. Y'all hear this? Anybody get anything out of this? Camry. Harmony. It's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 4:1. I realize I'm going a little too fast because you do have to have a little bit of work and knowledge to really get this too. But this is the sole purpose that you can have some study time. You know what I mean? 1 Chronicles 4:1, the sons of Judah, Perez, Harazon, and what's that name again? Carmi and Hur of Shebol. Carmi had a son named Achar. Remember, we just read there, right? Who was, look, and the sons of Carmi is who? Achar, he was the what? Troubler of Israel who transgressed in the thing accursed. Achar, even his name means troubler. See why I say sometimes y'all need to check y'all names out? A Judahite who voted God's specific ban on taking any loot from the captured city of Jericho and was stoned to death along with his family for his violation. Alternate spelling for Achan. So Achar is Achan. The sons of Shelah, the sons of Judah were, and it goes back over it again, the father of Lechi or Huda Lada and the father of Merasha and the families of the house of them wrought with the line of the house of Ashbia and Jochim and the sons of Kozeba and Joash and Sephra, who had the dominion of Moab and Jeshulim. How'd I do? Anyway, y'all know what I'm saying. Whew, these some names right here, boy. It'll be Yasarulian. Just get rid of the J. It's probably easier with the Y. You can start off right. You see the Y? Yah, yah, yah. And these are the ancient things. And these were the potters and whose that dwell among plants and hedges. There they dwell with the king for his work. Now, no mention of it. Whose name again? Carmen, nor the son of who? Achab. But we do see that these descendants of Shelah being men of who? Kozeba. Y'all didn't see that? See that? All right. Kozeba means what? A city of Judah. See, when things were given names way back then, they had meaning to it. Unlike people be naming their daughter Mikosela Fandela. What the hell is that? What is a Mikosela Fandela? Mercy. So, Cupseed, Opseed, and Kozeba is a location of the town in the lowlands of western Judah given to the Shelah branch Canaanites. Remember what the word Kozeb, Opseed, and Kozeba. Hebrew, Kozeb, false, town in Judah. Opseed, deceit. A town in a low land of west Judah, a town in Asher by the Sea of Galilee. Shelah, Judah was born in what? Kozeb. Genesis 38:5. You can see, if y'all writing this down, who's writing this down? Who taking notes? All right, so I'll give y'all a second to write that down because y'all going to need this. Boy, this is a university class today, isn't it? See, we can all sit here like in university, look like we're smart and don't know nothing. That's what I'd be looking like if I was in a university. I'd just be sitting there in class because not understanding a word they say. Y'all let me know when y'all finish. I guess we finish. In Genesis 38:5, and she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah, for he was at what? Chetzid or Kozeb. When she bare him. Notice, the place, remember I brought out earlier how they mentioned the location of the one where this one was born but didn't say nothing about the other two? Joshua 5:15:1. And then, this then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even at the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the uttermost parts of the south coast. And Kelah and Achzib and what's that? Mersha. 9 cities in their villages. So y'all seeing all this, right? Everybody getting all this? Here's the kingdom of Edom right here, right? Judah, Israel, and they got all the other tribes. This is an old map, right? Achzib and Kozeba was located in the valley of what? Eloth, right here. Uh-oh. Therefore shall you give presents to the Moreshgath, the houses of Achzib, shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Now, let's recap some of this history. In Deuteronomy 23 states that a bastard should not enter into the congregation even until the what generation? 10th generation. Y'all getting this right? So it means Shelah's dust then, right? Shelahites were given land on the southern border of Judah. We just went over that. The city of Eloth, which was next to Ebzion, Heber, I got that part, which will later become Solomon's seaport. Remember, the Shelahites were half Canaanites, which Strong defines as in the concordance as merchants and traders. So where does this merchants and traders congregate at? In the cities. Ain't that where they congregate at? So Shelah was born in Kozeba, which is Achzib, which has the same meaning as Achar, the trouble of Israel. It's starting to come together. And somebody said, well, Pastor, you lost me in the second slide. The sons of Carmi, Achar, the trouble of Israel, who transgressed any accursed thing. Now you know who Jesus was referring to in John 8. While these people were descendants of Abraham, they were not the children of the promise. That's hard hitting right there. Because remember, they said, we be Abraham's seed. He said, oh yeah, I know you are. There's no problem with that. But see, you have to go through all this history to realize what he's saying, though. They all proud, and he said, oh, I know exactly who you are. Then he turned around and said, but you love your father, the devil. Ooh. Mm. The time of the Jews. 2 Kings 16:6. And at that time, Rezin, the king of Syria, recalled Elath to Syria. Well, y'all remember where that land was, right? The lowlands, right? Is that right? The lowlands, right? To Syria, and drave the Jews from where? From Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwell there until this day. See, the time frame is approximately 750 BC, which is around 200 years after the split of Israel into the house of Judah and the house of Israel in 975 BC. And just before the beginning of the Assyrian captivity in 721 to 745 BC. To help understand the time frame, please do not think that books in scriptures are put in order. You're going to be wrecking your brain. If you're trying to, well, chapter 1 said it, and then chapter 2 said it, and then they go way off on something else, you think it is in chronological order. It's not. 2 Kings 16:1, and in the 17th year of Peleg, the son of Remaliah, Azah, the son of Joktim, king of Judah, began to reign. And Rezin, the king of Syria, and Peleg, and Rathbah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war and to besiege Ahaz, but could not overcome him. And at the time, Rezin, the king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwell there unto this day. The king of Syria and the king of Israel went to war against the house of Judah, but they were unable to take Jerusalem, but Rezin, the king of Syria, was able to recover the city of Elath and drove the Jews from Elath. Now remember, Elath was inherited by Judah, and he gave it to his son Shelah as an inheritance. Shelah was a bastard, and these modern-day so-called Jews cannot even be considered bastards because they do not even have one drop of blood from Judah in them. Ahaz, king of Judah, was still in Jerusalem and was never defeated. The Jews that were driven from Elath were a very small portion. Therefore, the word Jews used in this verse does not include any of the real house of Judah or the house of Israel. Therefore, these lying powers that be has the whole world believing that this small group of people from Elath who are descendants of Shelah are the real Jews. 1611, King James never uses the word Jews in this verse. Matter of fact, the Jewish Encyclopedia, volume 7, page 174. Up until the 17th century, this word was spelled in the Middle English in various ways. You, or just like ew, or ew, and lul. Corresponding to the Hebrew, a Gentile adjective from the proper name Judah seemingly never applied to members of the tribe, however, but to the members of the nationality inhabiting the south of Palestine. It appears to have been afterwards extended to apply to Israelites in the north. This is coming from their sources. Am I going too fast? The word ew was never applied to the tribe of Judah, but to a people inhabiting the south of Palestine. That's their own writings. The problem we're having today is the people who write these encyclopedias always seem to fail to tell us who these people are. So the Jews mentioned in 2 Kings 16:6 were a mongrel Canaanite branch of Judah who were referred to as Jews. Therefore, if you are an Israelite calling yourself a Jew, you are one big fool. Not unless you like being a mongrel. The misconception that Jews living in modern Israel and this false doctrine of today has omitted the entire 10 tribes of Israel and the majority of the house of Judah. Shalom. I gave y'all enough to be able to chew on. Everybody's like, what in the world is going on? Now, the whole purpose of this slide and the whole purpose of this message right here, because you ain't gonna get it all. There's no way. You're gonna have to actually go back over this, hit the pause button, open up your Bible, and it's there for that. Y'all got some homework to do. And believe you me, I may run around and critique you just to see if you've been doing any. That's like a good pop, isn't it? Like, for instance, what does Kosiba mean? Oh, somebody paying attention. Look at Scotty over here. You want to keep going? Sisters ain't moving. They're just smiling. But when you start understanding the history and then you start reading their sources right here, it would inform you even more so. So when you hear Pastor Dowell be so-called allegedly, quote-unquote, going off on broadcasts and all this other stuff, I'm not going off because I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just that we don't have time to go through all of this so that everybody can have an understanding so you can get a nod going, yeah, amen. We don't have time for that. But you do have time to go over this short message. Why I kept it short like this, because it was enough. And you got plenty of time, yes, if you choose to. And you're going to see the reason why that over in 2 Kings 16:6, that word first appears there, but it never appeared in Torah. Matter of fact, there's quite a few books it never appeared in before, and then all of a sudden it just jumps up all of a sudden in 2 Kings 16:6. What is really going on? So nobody in the tribe of Israel or Judah were ever known as Jews. Nobody, no Israelites that were scattered abroad to the northern hemisphere were ever known as Jews. Y'all getting this? These Jewish people are a mongrel people who have taken some. Anybody remember King Bulgan? Yeah, the 700 BC, no, 700 AD. What happened was, is that his nation was a bunch of degenerates. And so he called for an Israelite, a Muslim, and a so-called Christian to come and speak to them because they needed some type of cultural rearing. They need some religion. So he listened and noticed that the Muslims and the Israelites, I'm using Israel, you know what I mean, because they say in the books Jews, but you don't want no damn Jews. Anyway, Israel, but he says, man, but it sounds like y'all actually getting y'all stuff from Israel. So what they did is they went ahead and they got a priest, adopted a religion, and next thing you know, they start calling themselves Jews. Believe me, I know you ain't supposed to say amen or nothing because you ain't read the books. I get it. But that's what happened. Now all of a sudden, these people, because the priest actually taught them some of the customs, what happens in the midst of teaching people customs and you still are holding on to some of your traditions? What happened with pagan Christianity? They swear up and down, they're the people of the book, but you can't be the people of the book. Christianity is the religion of Satan. Jesus didn't say that 5 billion people or 3 billion people in the world was going to be saved for being Christians. He says there's going to be few that be saved. So when you look at Christianity, where in the hell are the rules and instruction and guidelines to celebrate Christmas? Where is it? Where does it tell us in our instructional book to put up a damn tree in your house and deck it with silver and gold? These are all Babylonian practices out of which Jeremiah clearly spoke to us about. So where you get this Seder dish where you stick a hard-boiled egg on there and you put some bitter herbs in that? Where is that written in the Torah? Where is it written in the Torah? Nowhere. But we do hear about eggs falling out of the sky and people going sitting and hatching them and stuff, and next thing you know, we're celebrating Easter. Where are the rules and instruction and guidelines for Easter? In the whole of the Bible. So what did Constantine and all these people do? While they adopted some forms of what they call Judeo-Christianity, which is an oxymoron, it's just nothing but confusion, they kept their pagan sun worshiping. And now you have pagan sun worship infused with Christianity, and that's why they like going to church on Sunday, the day of the sun. Because remember Sunday, to keep it holy. 7 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the first day is the Sunday of Yahweh Elohim. Is that not stupid as hell? So from Genesis all the way up, it talks about the 7 day Sabbath, the Shabbat. The Sabbath is going to be not only kept his, but it's also going to be kept in the kingdom. So when the Most High Yah chose each and every last one of you, I know it's hard to believe, but you didn't think too much of yourself, but Yah thought a lot about you. And that is literally something to shout about when you know that he has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Huh? That's a beautiful thing. Well, he brought you out of the darkness of paganism, sun worshiping. There's nothing about Christmas that glorifies Yah. You can't glorify him in a lie. There's nothing about Sunday or Easter that glorifies Yah. That's why we don't celebrate birthdays, because it comes from a pagan origin. The thing we should be celebrating, which is his death, which the book tells us clearly to celebrate his death, we do show forth him until he comes. See, everything that Yahshua says, everything that Yahweh says in the book, the Christians do the very damn opposite, because they're a bunch of snake-eating sun worshipers. A bunch of damn pagans. Christianity is a pagan religion. It's a satanic religion. And there ain't going to be no Christians in the kingdom. There ain't going to be no Christians in the whole so-called heaven or Shemaim. Because the book says, all Israel shall be saved. Now I'm kind of laying this on a little thick for the rest of the people out there that's going to probably listen to this, so they can know my disdain for Christianity. You understand what I mean? Nowhere in that book it tells us we got a damn pope that wears a Babylonian egg on top of his head, chasing after damn statues that can't speak. And by the way, if y'all really want to do yourself a favor, take that damn cross out of your house and off your neck. You know what that is, right? That's the same sentiments that the ancient Israelites had in the wilderness. Oh, we're not worshiping the golden calf. It's just something for us to look to. Though some of you feel protected and feel like the Yah's with you when you got that pagan cross around your neck. Oh, you got that damn fish called Dagon on the back of your car with the name Jesus in the center of it? Somebody must get ready to get saved in this place. You know what I mean? Because somebody out there is listening. Somebody going to be delivered today. Somebody going to get set free. Somebody on the other side of that camera is getting set free. You watch. I want y'all to make sure y'all check me out too. Check me out. Please do. And then get ready, because the first attack is going to come from your natural family. You're going to experience the real hatred that Jesus experienced. It's coming through your family. And then when it does come through your family, now you know all of those who are submitted to Satan at his will. Why would people want to attack you for being obedient to the scripture? What is wrong with folks today? You want to attack me for being obedient to this book? And you want to call me all kind of names? Oh, I know I'm on the right track now. Because Jesus already said that that was going to happen. He called it before we even got here. Isn't that beautiful? So you can rest assured, Israel. And y'all see the reason why your pastor talked the way he talks, right? Y'all's angry with the wicked every day, and so am I. Are you following me? But these people don't mean you no good. None whatsoever at all. They don't mean you no good at all. But Yah does. Hallelujah. Even if you have nothing to be grateful for, which you got everything to be grateful for, when you wake up every morning, you should be thanking the Father that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I love watching the beauty of our sisters having that head covered and their bodies covered and they ain't got that damn pig makeup on. You know, most women say they can't come out of the house till they put their face on. If that's the way your face look with it on, boy, ooh. Y'all seen what makeup can do, right? I showed y'all the pictures, right? It can make a woman look totally different than what she really is. See, at least here you get to see the real beauty of the daughters of Zion. You get to see what a real woman looks like. That's crazy, man. Now you got men wearing makeup today. And they're outdoing women. And let me tell y'all something. When y'all away from home or y'all going on trips or something like that, don't you dare send none of your children in no bathrooms by themselves. It ain't safe. Mama, you go in that bathroom with your child and make sure you got your firearm on you. Daddy, don't you leave your son unattended. You go, don't set them going to the bathroom. I'll just wait out here while I get me a cool pop. When you leave the confines of Israel, you are in hostile environment. Y'all sit down for a second. I just heard a bad story this week. A bad story this week. Mama's inside the store shopping. Little girl says, Mom, I got to go to the bathroom. She said, go ahead, baby. Go on and go to the bathroom. Notice it was taking a little bit longer than usual. Goes into the bathroom. The little girl's got a hood over her head, bound and gagged, and the woman is getting ready to walk out of the bathroom with that child. Imagine that. That day, somebody finna leave this life. That's why I tell you, you guard your children, watch over them. Don't ever go outside the confines of Israel and think you're in safe ground. You're not on safe ground. Always have situational awareness. Always. Be sober, be vigilant. At all times. Y'all hear this, Israel? Love the children so they can grow up and love theirs. Glory to the King. All right. 2 p.m., we'll eat dinner, all right? Let us stand, Israel. Y'all got some homework to do. Glory to the King. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. You're dismissed in a beautiful, magnificent, wonderful name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Christ. Shabbat shalom, Israel. The King is coming.